All right, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. It's really amazing. I hope I don't preach too long because the battery's about dead. Ephesians chapter 1, and it is good to be here, and we'll share a little bit later with you in the Sunday school hour. But I want to bring us to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to think about exactly what Paul is talking about here, or at least some of what he's talking about here this morning. Before we do that, however, let's pray. Father, we are truly thankful that you are a great God, that you are the God of all creation, the giver of life, the giver of hope, the giver of breath, and Father, the giver of the Word. And you have given to us your word, and we pray now, Father, that as we open it, that your Spirit would teach us and guide us. The things that we receive here, they are not for here, they are for outside. And that we would be vocal in our testimony of sharing the gospel of the grace of God with a lost community, a lost state, a lost nation, a lost world. And Father, we would be found faithful to you. So guide us now in your word, and we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I look at Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, I want to begin in verse 1, simply to lay a little bit of a foundation. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So what I really want us to see as we begin in looking at this morning, that as Paul is writing here, he is technically not writing to the world in general, but to the saints in particular. He is writing to the saints there in Ephesus. And Ephesus was a very large pagan city. Susan and I were very privileged last fall to actually walk the streets of the ancient city at Ephesus. And to see the corruption, to see the paganism, that really the idolatry that existed there in Paul's day. But Paul here is writing not even to the city of Ephesus in general, but to the saints that were there in the church. And I think it's imperative that as we study the scripture, we pay attention to the pronouns that are used. So in verse 1, where he says to the saints, understand that as we go along and we read pronouns such as you and us, And your and ye, and that Paul is talking to the members of the body of Christ. And he's giving to them as to here in the opening chapter who they are in Christ Jesus and what they were and how they're now in Christ and the difference that is there. So just understand that this passage is written to the saints, to those who are in Christ. Verse 1. And of course, those who are in Christ are those who have placed their faith and their trust in that finished work of Christ. The moment we take that simple step of faith, of belief, of trust, the Spirit of God takes us and places us into Christ. And then what's He do? He seals us there. And what can break that seal? Absolutely nothing. And those are some of the things that we will be looking at this week in our adult time as we look as an adult version of the whistle stops of the Apostle Paul. There is a kid's version and there's an adult version. And we're going to look at the adult version. All right. We're going to have adult treats. That's coffee. Let me say, the train station's here. Every train station needs a...
Oh, we have that.
We have that. Right there. We have an engineer. We have a station. What are we missing?
A train.
A train. hopefully the train arrives before tomorrow. But anyway, we're going to do that. In verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." As Paul begins this passage, this section beginning in 3 and going down through verse 14, 15, what he's talking first of all is his and our blessing of God. And how can I bless God? And the word used here for blessing means that all of our praise, all of our glory, all of our honor is to go to Him. In other words, as Paul does throughout his epistles, he always takes the focus off of the earth, off of one another, and puts it on Him. In reality, in today's terms, it's not all about us. It's all about Him. And all that He has done for us. Do we really appreciate who we are in Christ because of the love and mercy and grace of God the Father? Do we really appreciate that? Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? He's blessed us. He's blessed us. And He's blessed us with just a little here and a little there." Right? Wrong. He's blessed us with all. What's all mean? Everything I need and more I have already in Christ Jesus. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Amen.
Amen.
Shouldn't it be more like amen?
Amen.
Well, don't get carried away. Amen's all right, but when you get a hallelujah amen, it gets a little too Pentecostal. We are blessed in heavenly places with all spiritual blessings. Where? In Christ. All of that becomes mine the very moment I trusted in Christ. I was blessed in Him. We are blessed today. And in our deepest, darkest hours, and listen, there are times where things don't go our way. There are times life can be very discouraging. There are times when life can come to the point where you just want to say, "I quit." And at those deep, dark moments, we are reminded we are blessed. That's how in Philippians chapter 4, the apostle can write, "Rejoice in the Lord when things are going well." No, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Why? Because we are blessed in Christ. And then in verse 4, he begins to lay out some of those blessings that we have in Christ. "According as He hath chosen" who? Us. Who's the us? The believers. The believers. Now, I don't want to get into the whole Arminian Calvin debate. That's your pastor's job. But I will say this, friends. However you take this, you have to understand Paul is talking to believers who God sees where? In Christ. He sees us in Christ. I personally believe that God is able to look down through the corridor of time and see everything in a completed fashion. And it doesn't mean that God completes it. He just sees it's done. And therefore, he can look down through the corridor of time, and he saw me in Christ. And because he saw me in Christ, he determined to bless me. And he said, it all happened when? Before the very foundation of the world. Before he took one step in the creation of the cosmos, God already saw me. God already saw and knew you in Christ. You are not an afterthought in the mind of God. That's amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's hallelujah. He says, before the very foundation of the world, he chose us, the saints, the believers, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. And what did he choose us to? That we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Having predetermined, predestinated, predetermined who? Us, the saints, under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. He determined before the foundation of the world. He looked down through the corridors of time. He saw me, and seeing me in Christ, he determined that he was going to make me one of his own. He was going to take me and adopt me into his family. And you know, when you adopt, anybody here ever adopt?
Yes.
Yes. Of all people, I should have known. I'm glad you gave them a home. I don't know if I should say this. You know, anybody who doesn't like cats?
Don't say it.
No, Lord, you just have to learn how to cook them. Just visit a Chinese restaurant sometimes. Moving right along, though. But listen, he chose us that we should be holy and blameless before him, having predetermined to make us an adopted child. And an adopted child, Susan and I have adopted two children. We have two by birth, two by purchase. We have four children. Two. And those two sons, stand equal to the two daughters. And so there are four. And they share equally in our... So when we die, they each get 25 cents. But you know, that's the way it works here. But you know, what God says is, in Romans chapter 8, he says we are joint heirs. Correct? We are joint heirs. With who? With the Son. With Jesus Christ. You have to think about what that means. When he talks here about us being blessed, think about what it means to be a joint heir together with Christ. And so what that means is a joint heir is one who shares totally. It's not 25, 25, 25, 25. It's all. So everything that the Father has given to the Son, as he adopted me as one of his children, what do I get? I get it all too. I get it all too. Everything the Father gave to the Son now becomes mine. Now, tell me you're not blessed. You're not blessed. Over at the end of chapter 1 and chapter 2, Paul will say in chapter 2 that he raised us up together to sit with Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1, he tells us that Jesus Christ is seated where? At the very right hand of the Father. Now, as Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and I am seated together with Him, where am I?
Right at
the right hand of the Father. That's the seat of exaltation, the seat of honor. And all that the Father gave to Him, He's given to me as a joint heir together with Christ. So when I come to Christ, it isn't my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now what is it? I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills in Christ. Correct? And that's what he says here. And the thing is, when you have to understand verses 4, 5, and 6, and into 7, when he says, having predestinated us, the children of God, the saints, those who have believed in Him, we have now been given all of these things. And let me tell you this, God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't take it back. He doesn't give it to us today and tomorrow say, oh, no, can't have it. He's given it to us. He says, to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He has made us is completed action. It isn't He is making us. He is making us. Colossians says, I am complete in Christ. Again, the very moment we put our faith and our trust in Christ, the work is done. We are made righteous. Someone said one time, in order to go to heaven, you have to be as good as God is good. You have to be as good as God is good. And you say, oh, I could never do that. Oh, yes you can. Yes you can. For He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of who? God. Where? In Christ. The moment you put your faith and trust in Christ, guess what you become? You become as good as God is good. Tell me you're not blessed. Tell me you're not blessed. And he says here, He has made us, He has adopted us, and He has made us that we might be blameless before Him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory. He has made us accepted. He has already made us accepted in the Beloved. And I think the word beloved here is another name for Christ.
Right.
He's made us accepted in Christ. Because it is in Christ in whom we have what? Redemption. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Understand, and this is an area I think a lot of people very often miss. Concerning the cross, of what Christ has done there for me. When Christ died on the cross, how many sins have you committed? How many?
None.
None. You hadn't committed any. Why not? You weren't yet. Right? You weren't. But God, who can look down into the corridor of time and see the sin of man, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, who did He die for?
Everybody.
Amen. I'll say it. Amen. Hallelujah. He paid the price of sin for who?
All.
So that our sin is forgiven. The only way that He can even begin to present us blameless before God. The only way that we can be made the righteousness of God in Christ. The only way we can be made as good as God is good is if Christ has already paid the price of sin. And listen, there is nothing, there is no sin that is going to creep up on God and is going to take that, make Him take away that life that He has given to us. There's not going to be a day where God said, "Oh, I didn't know that one." They're all taken care of.
Amen.
They're all taken care of. I don't have to go to bed at night and lay my head on the pillow and think, Did I do something today God hasn't taken care of? And you know what? If I die tonight and I'm in this sin, I won't go to heaven. It's not true, folks. Nothing can take it away from us. Once we are in Christ, nothing can take it away from us, because He has already, the work of making us accepted in the Beloved is done on Calvary's cross. And He has given us the forgiveness of sin. We are redeemed. We've already been bought by His blood. Even the forgiveness of sin and all of that is in accordance to His riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. And just for time's sake, go down. How did all that become ours? There's more in the next couple of verses, but how did all that become ours? Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first what? Trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were what?
Sealed.
You were sealed. Understand, folks, the moment you trusted, the very moment you trusted and you heard the word of truth, you heard the good news of your salvation, the very moment you took that step of faith and trusted in Christ and you believed, you were sealed. By the Holy Spirit of what? Of promise. Not the Holy Spirit of "I hope so." It's the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. And what's earnest? What's earnest?
Promise.
What?
Promise.
A promise? A guarantee? What God has said He will do. And this is the earnest of our what? Inheritance. So what He's saying here is, all of the blessing, all of that that God has promised me, all of that that is mine, all of that is totally guaranteed. Totally guaranteed. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Do we have reason today to praise God?
Yes.
We are blessed.
Amen.
We are blessed. But that blessing, folks, only comes where? In Christ.
Amen.
It's only ours because we took that step of faith and placed our faith and our trust in the finished work of Christ. And the moment we take that step of faith, we pass from death unto life, from unblessed to blessed, to redeem. And the moment we take that step of faith, then He says, at that very moment, we are now sealed by His Spirit in Christ Jesus. Do you know Him today? Do you know not about Him? You know Him. Have you taken that step of faith, that step of trust? I trust that you have. And if you haven't, right here this morning, right here, right now, in your heart of hearts, in your very inner being, you say, "I believe Christ died for me. I believe He paid the price of my sin. I'm going to put my trust my faith, my belief in Him and only in Him and His finished work on my behalf, His death, burial, and resurrection. And the moment we do that by faith, we pass from death unto life. And we are blessed. We are blessed. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You today that we are blessed. We are blessed in Christ Jesus. We are saved, sealed, and secure in Christ Jesus. And I thank You for that this morning. And I would pray, Father, that as we have that hope, that we would be about the business of sharing that gospel of truth with a lost and dying world. Thank You, Father, for this time. Guide our time together today and throughout the week. Use it for Your honor and glory. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all right. I'm going to preach again.